Chapter 1. Waking Up. Trees and people used to be the best of friends. I saw that tree and decided to buy the house. Hayao Miyazaki, my neighbor Totoro. I knew that burning fossil fuels was causing irreversible harm to our planet's life support systems, and yet I continued to burn. When I first heard of global warming in sixth grade, the only time it was mentioned during my school years, it seemed like science fiction, not something that would ever concern me. I didn't think about it again for nearly two decades. I began learning the basic science of global warming in 2006 when my first son, Braird, was born. Fatherhood jolted me out of a selfish careerism. Suddenly, my life wasn't just about me, and my perspective shifted to a longer timescale. At the time, I was working on my PhD in physics at Columbia University in New York City. As my eyes were opened, I had a strong emotional response. How could we continue burning fossil fuels at an accelerating pace when this severely damages the biosphere for future generations? It seemed insane. At the same time, I was immersed in our industrial civilization, which dictates that burning fossil fuels is the only sane thing to do, that someone who refuses to burn fossil fuels is ludicrous, a Luddite. I became obsessed with finding some way to rectify this deep inconsistency. I longed to know how all of the people around me, family members, colleagues, strangers on the street, were dealing with this glaring disconnect without any apparent difficulty. Did they know about global warming? Had they made peace with it somehow, or did they simply not think about it? I felt afraid of the future, lost. I had so much emotional static that I struggled to connect with people. Like a splinter in my psyche, this disconnect required me to do something. But what? I first tried converting people with facts. The people around me were acting as though there wasn't a problem. Perhaps they simply didn't know. If I could only communicate with greater clarity, people would get it. I felt like I had the truth, that my job was to wake everyone up. Like most attempts to convert, though, mine were sanctimonious and alienating. It was impossible for anyone to listen to me, or for me to listen to anyone else. My wife Sharon had to put up with a lot. It's not easy being married to someone who wants to convert you. This led to even more disconnection. Alone with my angst, at a loss for what to do, I was panicking. I now realize that few people respond to facts. I also realize that I can't respond meaningfully to our predicament with my intellect alone. I also doubt that even our society's collective intellect, our best scientists and brightest policymakers working within their delineated roles, will be enough. While intellect certainly plays a role, it's a rather small one. Our dire ecological crisis calls us to go deeper.